Hi everyone, this is Silvio. Very happy to be here today and welcome to the Golden Goose earnings presentation for the year 2021. We are happy and proud to announce you that we closed 2021 with brilliant results while continuing to build up solid pillars for the next growth phase, consistently with our long-term strategic view. We are continuing to move our focus on our final consumers, aiming and offering a compelling omnichannel experience according to our DTC strategy. In the full year 2021, we opened 40 new retail stores, achieving a well-balanced retail presence across the board. We are keeping evolving our retail experience, co-creation activities through lab in-store customization and itinerant retail maker activations create engagement with tangible impact on business. Besides, we are continuously improving our digital offer by giving to our customers the possibility to have a smooth and pleasing omnichannel experience. We switch our top three wholesale customers to a whole session model, which allows us to increase the control over the distribution and have a more grounded and fruitful conversation with our final consumers. Second, we increase our efforts in marketing initiatives consistently to a long-term plan to elevate Golden Goose in a global brand. We will follow a differentiated approach across markets, of course. We also work on our first sustainability plan, and we are very proud of that. And we call it the Forward Agenda. And it has been announced in March 2022, with which we sold to represent our sense of responsibility towards some of the most pressing challenges facing the world. Here the best is yet to come, definitely. Later, I will be more than happy to give you more color around this. Therefore, after 2020, in which we demonstrated our solid resilience in an environment that was characterized by the spread of the pandemic, we resumed our growth path, achieving what we consider to be extraordinary results in 2021. As Paolo will show you later, in 2021, we generated revenues of 385.6 million euros, an increase of 45% over 2020. We achieved an adjusted EBITDA of 126 million euros with a margin of 33%, recording a generation of free cash flow of 53 million euro. In conclusion, we are very pleased with the year results, which allow us to take on the next challenges with confidence and enthusiasm, aiming to expand our brand globally. Before leaving the stage to Paolo, a snapshot about the current trading, with sales up more than 35% in Q1 2022. And let me say, this is not just a great result, it's a great result that is being delivered and sold and every day lived with all together. An incredible result of the entire family of Golden Goose. Thank you all.
Thank you, Silvio, and hello everyone, Paolo speaking. I'm very proud to present what Golden Goose has accomplished in 2021. You'll be pleased to see that we accelerated the growth we recorded during the first 9 months, thanks to a plus 58% in Q4 2021. We clearly exceeded pre-pandemic sales with an exceptional plus 46% over fiscal year 2019. This was confirmed by a more than 35 like-for-like growth in the DTC channel, again compared to fiscal year 2019. We continue to enjoy solid profitability with an adjusted EBITDA coming in at 32.8%, perfectly in line with what we recorded in 2020. So all the growth in terms of sales is reflected in EBITDA, and it is the proof that the 40 store we opened in 2021 and the increased marketing investments we made haven't eroded our profitability in the slightest. In Q4, we generated 30.9 million of adjusted free cash flow, which, when added to the 22.2 million of the first 9 months, gave us a cash generation after tax and interest of 53.1 million for the year. These excellent economic and financial results enable us to reduce our net leverage by 1.8 times, landing at 4.0 times at the end of the year. Therefore, there was no need to draw the RCF, which was fully repaid in 2021. If needed, we have a 63.8 million of undrawn RCF, as 11.2 million was converted into a commercial credit line, because it can be used much more efficiently for reverse factoring and currency hedging. But let's go into a little more detail, analyzing sales and EBITDA per quarter, starting with the top chart on page 5. So we are talking about sales. We grew turnover by 45% year-on-year, bringing the group sales to over 385 million euros in 2021. You remember that we had limited growth in Q1, plus 11%, due to the comparison with the first 2 months of 2020, which still hadn't been impacted by COVID. We then had an extraordinary Q2, up 133%. Of course, it was a strong comparison with the spring 2020, when the whole Western world was in severe lockdown. By Q3, we consolidated growth with an excellent plus 22%, and then followed with an exceptional plus 58% in the last quarter. This was really driven by an extraordinary performance of the DTC channel. We also saw plus 45% growth in adjusted EBITDA, as you can see in the chart below. So, we made 120 million of additional sales without affecting our profitability at all, which remains at 32.8%. That was despite 14 new retail openings and increased investments in marketing and organization. Let's now take a look at the main drivers of Golden Goose growth, starting with the three geographic areas involved. Let me start with our top region, which is the Americas, mainly the United States. In this market, we grew at a rate higher than the group average, achieving plus 74% year-on-year. All quarters are very positive, driven by the brand strength as well as by a gradual easing of COVID-related restrictions. EMEA's numbers have also been very encouraging, up 37%. The last quarter of the year was particularly strong, up a promising plus 75%, and we have seen that the strong growth is continuing also in the first month of 2022. In this case, the main boost came from the DTC channel, which saw year-on-year growth of 70%. The third area, APAC, also grew in 2021, up 21% versus the previous year. The negative performance of Q4 is totally due to the strategic decision to cut wholesale orders as a prudent response to the upsurge of COVID in this area. As you can imagine, the varying reaction of local authorities to the new variants of the pandemic during the second half, which impacted all the countries in which we are present, I mean Greater China, Australia, Korea and Japan, slowing the recovery we had seen during the first 9 months. However, we remain confident that once the restrictive measures have been lifted, hopefully second half 2022, the strength of our brand will lead to more significant growth here. Looking now at the results by channel, we can see that the situation remains very, very positive. Retail is up an exceptional 79%, with sales more than doubling in the final quarter of the year. This is thanks to the combination of a very solid organic growth and our expansion plan. We increased the number of stores by 40 in 2021, 9 of which taking over from our Chinese distributor. We saw increased traffic, we converted that into sales, and we also increased our average transaction value. Turning to the digital channel, this doubled its sales for the second year in a row. Turnover, in fact, rose from 15 million in 2019 to 64.2 million in 2021. How did we achieve this? Well, we increased number of sessions and conversion. We expanded distribution through the main marketplaces, and we are converting, as Silvio was saying before, our main wholesale customer from a B2B model based on a selling strategy to a concession model. In fact, in 2021, three major wholesale customers, such as Nostrum, Shopbop, and MyTeresa, all signed concession agreements with Golden Goose. Demonstrates that our brand continues to gain traction with a major multi-brand customer. Interestingly, Nostrum makes more than 70% of Golden Goose sales through digital. This conversion of sales from B2B to DTC explains the subdued performance of the wholesale channel, which grew year-on-year by 8%, but was down for the second consecutive quarter compared to 2020. If we normalize the figure, neutralizing the customer that shifted from B2B to DTC, Nostrum, just to give you an idea, was the major wholesale customer, Q4 2021 would have grown by 50% in this channel as well. Let's now turn to profitability. The net margin increased faster than sales, up 54%, giving us a net margin of 66%. Again, this is thanks to the progressive shift from B2B to DTC channel. However, this shift didn't affect the operating margin. As already mentioned, our adjusted EBITDA remains stable at 32.8%. Meanwhile, EBIT grew by 68%, benefiting from a very prudent investment policy, which kept the level of depreciation very, very low. The adjusted EBIT margin, in fact, was 23.2%, plus 310 basis points as compared to 2020. The performance of trade working capital was better than expected. Despite the growth of 120 million euro in sales, it remained at 1% of turnover, compared with 2% in the previous year. Inventory and credit are well under control, and payable actually offset the cash impact of the first two items. If you remember, we already commented that such low level of inventory are certainly efficient from a cash perspective, but we risk slowing down our growth if we don't increase them. For this reason, in 2022, we expected the proportion of TWC to increase by a few percentage points, not exceeding our optimal threshold of 8-10%, but still far below the average of our peers. Our investment policy is also very efficient, standing at 7% of annual sales. We invested 26 million euro in 2021, of which 17 million was in retail and 6.5 in technology and digital. As for CapEx, in 2022, we expect to remain at a similar percentage of sales as it was in 2021, around the 7% level. Turning to cash flow, from a reported EBITDA of 124.1 million, we were able to generate 110 million of adjusted operating cash flow. That's a conversion rate of 87%, even better than the 79% recorded in 2020. We still confirm our guidance of a medium-term cash conversion target in the region of 60-65%. Adjusted cash flow was 53.1 million after payment of rent, financial charges, and taxes, and excluding extraordinary items related to the bond. Of these, more than 30 million in Q4 2021, and mainly from the DTC channel. The end result was very reassuring on the debt side. Cash increased by 30 million in one year, from 70 million to 100 million, and that was despite 25 million of RCF reimbursement. These payables are obviously increasing, but as we have seen, the addition of 40 stores contributed to create value in terms of profitability. Adjusted EBITDA increased from 88 million to 126 million, with the net leverage ratio decreasing from 5.9 as of December 2020 to 4.0 as of December 2021. Pre-IFRS 16 net financial position is well below 400 million, 380.2 million to be precise. Stepping back, in summary, during 2020, the business demonstrates real resilience under tough conditions. In 2021, we have returned to strong growth, to profitability at the levels we achieved pre-COVID, and to excellent cash generation. Let me say, we are back performing in line with our long-term track record. As Silvio said, the other good news is the current trading of the first three months of 2022. That's above last year by more than 35%. Before turning to the Q&A session, let me leave the stage to Silvio, that's proud to drive you through our first ever sustainability plan.
Thank you, Paolo, and amazing job, even to you and your crew. To everyone, as Paolo was saying, sustainability in Golden Goose is our strategy. It is really part of our philosophy. This is something we stand for. It's not a performance, it's much more. It's a kind of religion for us. You know, remember that more than 70% of our population is less than 32 years old. So as you can imagine, everything comes up organically in Golden Goose. Then, of course, it helps to enhance and to make a very organic conversation with all communities outside and then embracing all generations outside and inside the organization. This is what was happening in the last 20 years, and Golden Goose has been always committed to people, embarking with them and in this journey of love. Our origins, our way of doing things, and the experiences that arise from the conversations with our communities have inspired our first sustainability plan. We call it the Forward Agenda. Why? Because its purpose is to represent our journey. It's not something that we want to deliver today or tomorrow. It's not something that you can only announce. It's something that we're gonna be proud to try, to measure, to certify, and really open up the company's value brand strategy to the world and tackle some of the most pressing challenges facing the world. Let me say that the four main areas of this agenda are focused on the innovation, so the embracing of new technology, the WeCraft, so celebrating traditional craftsmanship, because as you might know, after all these calls that we had, you know, everyone is doing sneakers, nobody is doing handmade sneakers. This is Golden Goose, the only one in the world. We care and we share, so both embracing diversity as well as engaging, giving back to communities. Its purpose is to increase the integration of the environmental and social aspects into the way we operate. We define a 10-year task target to be met by 2025. That are the core of our plan. First of all, the target includes reducing our environmental impact by becoming carbon neutral, using low impact materials, tracing raw materials, and continuously improving social and environmental standards throughout our supply chain. We foster and enhance diversity while promoting an inclusive culture and empowering local communities. We can definitely contribute to a more sustainable world, but we can't do it alone. We want to engage our community in creating a movement for a better, more sustainable reality. It's about enabling diet and empowering as many people as we can, our people, our customers, suppliers, investors, and even other companies, to join in our effort and make more sustainable choices every single day. That's our call to action. Move forward with us. And that's why every single area we are looking to improve, it is always reporting before the word we, because we don't believe in individuals. We believe in individuals as long as they contribute into a bigger project, into a bigger plan, into a bigger vision, which is the forward plan. So with that, Paul and I will be, of course, very happy to answer any questions you might have, and I turn the floor over to the operator.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to register a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two, and please ensure you're unmuted when speaking. For those of you connecting online, you can register a question with the flag icon. Again, that's star followed by one or the flag icon to register any questions. We have a question from Nicholas Remy of Assured Investment Management. Nicholas, please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Congrats for the good results. Just a question, just wondering if you were providing some guidance for the year 2022 in terms of sales, EBITDA and leverage. And could you, do you have the sales at constant perimeter for Q4 this year?
Thank you for the question, Nicolas. In terms of guidance, as you know, we can provide our budget for 2022, but as Silvio was and I was mentioning, we are trending at more than plus 35% in Q1. Let me say that this number is reflecting also the fact that last year, in the first quarter, Europe was closed for COVID reason. Then our expectation is, of course, to grow, but let me say between 15 and 20% on a year-on-year basis. This is, can you please repeat the second question, please? It was, what is the performance of Q4, but I would like to catch
the call to like the, your sales growth at constant perimeter in Q4?
Yes, in this case, what we monitor is our DTC channel, and then adding retail and digital. And in terms of cost and perimeter, the like-for-like was pretty high, more than 70% in Q4, thanks to a very strong month of November and December. And, of course, to the United States that drove our growth during all over the year, but mainly in Q4.
Okay, thanks a lot.
As a reminder, for any further questions, that's star followed by one or the flag icon if you're dialing in online. Our next question comes from Marco Gironi with T. Rowe Price. Marco, the line is yours.
Hi. A couple of questions from me. The first one, I just want to put some context on the explosive, basically, U.S. growth you had last year. How should we think about it? I mean, should we think about a sort of a major reset, a major restart you had in 2021? And from this base, you sort of grow more, I don't know, it's a sort of organic kind of rate, shall we say?
This is Mr. Campara, sorry.
No, please, and then I'll ask the second one later.
Hello, can you hear me, guys?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, because I have some problem with my phone. I was having problem with connection. Okay,
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, Marco. Our growth in 2022, we expect, as we already shared during the roadshow, we continue to open new stores in all the three markets, let me say, APAC, US, and EMEA. Of course, modulating the number of openings considering the actual situation. Then, as you know, our plan is to open on average 25 stores on a year-on-year basis. And this is what happened also in 2021 because the number of stores, the net number of stores, because we have also, we also closed some stores were 26, but because 40 stores open gross, nine of which taking over from our Chinese distributor, and four were closed. Then the net number of stores increased by 27. In 2022, we are considering to slow down a little bit the growth in terms of number of stores due to the APAC situation. Then we don't want to, in this moment, to make a lot of investments because we want to understand very well how these countries will face this Omicron variant. As you know, in this moment, all half of China is closed, is in lockdown. And then we forecast to open between 16, 18 stores during this year. Then coming to your question, these 16-20% of growth is mainly made by organic growth because, of course, Europe and America are mostly out of and back to the pre-COVID scenario, but we miss 1 year because 2020 we were flat on total. Then we have room to increase organically in these two areas, and we expect that they will drive our growth for 2022.
But when I think about growth, though, I mean, you point us to the store growth, but you're growing faster and meaningfully in digital. You gave us the example of Nordstrom, that the 70% of the sales digital. So I understand you're talking us through the store side, but the digital side is a big part too, right?
Yeah, I didn't get the question very precisely, but of course, 70% of sales made of digital was also a very good surprise also for us, for Nordstrom, because according to the data we collected before when it was a pure wholesale, we were more around 50-50%, 50 brick and mortar, 50 digital. But this number is confirming our value and the strength of the brand in US, because if you consider that more than 50% of our digital sales all over the world is made in US, then digital for us is a good opportunity, not only the direct channel, of course, our website, but also all marketplaces, the best one, of course, the luxury one, and also this conversion from wholesale to concession was a strategic decision we made in 2020, but is giving us cash distribution control in terms of quality of the distribution. And then the first clients we are approaching to convert into concession are the so-called e-tailers, and then the wholesale clients that are selling all over the world through digital. Then digital for us is the channel that will drive the growth also in 2022 and in the following years.
Understood. My last question is about product range and whether there's some major investments you're doing in 2022. Could you just sort of comment on what you're doing on your product range and maybe even specifically how well selling other items other than shoes is going?
Shall I, Paolo? So thank you for the question. As you know, Golden Goose, of course, is recognized to be the first mover as a luxury sneaker player, and not only that, even as an innovator. So even this year, according to an agenda that we are respecting since 23 years, we launch new innovation, and meanwhile, we've been consolidating the launch of the previous seasons, and it's incredible what's happening, because meanwhile, Superstar, so our key item, is still in absolute numbers, keep on growing. In percentage, we are seeing new rising stars, like Boltstar, like Slide, like Midstar, that are becoming hugely popular all over the world. So that's a great signal, in my opinion, because we expectations we have, and you know, guys, our ambitions are really big for the future. It's very important to know that the innovation is not going to be seasonal. The innovation is going to be a long-run innovation, and this is what we are seeing through numbers. So all the numbers that Paolo was giving you before has a huge quality behind for us, because it means that consumers are repeating their consumptions, okay, in terms of SKUs every year, but not necessarily always only on one style. So this is giving us the confidence that the innovations we are giving is an innovation that is easy to be understood by the customers and is easy to be scaled for the future.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Marcus Schmidt with Prisma. Marcus, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking the question. I've just one, and that is on your margin profile. I think your EBITDA margin declined a bit in Q4 against Q3, but you are strongly growing and have obviously ramp up costs. So maybe this explains this a bit. But how are you affected right now by inflationary pressures, and what EBITDA margin do you expect in 2022?
Thank you, Marcus. Good question. Well, it's true. In Q4, we realized 31% of EBITDA margin versus the 34% we had in Q3. But it's not a matter of inflation. It's a matter of cutoff between quarters, because as you can imagine, different invoice curve between the channels can have and also the split of marketing investments and other big expenses can change the profile quarter by quarter. What's important that is that on average we are between 31 and 34% in all the quarter of 2021, and this is our expectation also for 2022 to remain in the region of the 32.8% we recorded in 2021. Inflation impact our business, let me say, for sure, yes, as everyone in the world. Fortunately, we are not so dependent on the cost of energy due to our model. We are facing some pressure in terms of production cost. But we don't see any risk to impact and to affect our gross margin and our EBITDA in 2022. Of course, if this scenario will continue also in the next years, as all the major players are doing, we can have also the possibility to work on pricing, retail pricing. But at the moment, let me say we are pretty safe in 2022 margin.
Okay, then maybe one follow-up for me. I mean, the inflationary environment we are in now has actually negative impact on the consumer side, but your consumer group, I would say, is a bit different. Yeah, they have a higher purchase power than other consumers, basically. So do you think that when these inflationary pressures come through and maybe depress discretionary income levels of consumers, that you can still escape from it? So even in maybe 2023, 2024, when the consumer side is maybe hit at the end by what we see in energy markets and so on, that you can still keep up your growth and your margin profile more or less? Is that a realistic scenario?
Can I answer this question, Paolo? With a simple number? So in luxury, guys, and I'm sure you know, all the top year in luxury has been increasing their prices in the last 3 years by 37% a year. Golden goods 5%. That's it. Very simple.
Yes, the answer is yes, I think, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so there's space, there is respect to the customers, there is everything. So, again, this is a clear demonstration of the power of the brand.
Mm. No, I see. Okay, then thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have no further questions on the phone line, so I'll hand back for any closing remarks.
It's okay for us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.